I got my Sound Off Gamer shirt on. You can't really see it right now, but I got my Sound Off Gamer shirt on in celebration of tonight. Arcade Anarchy on AEW Dynamite. We've got to talk about that. Your final AEW Dynamite review for the month of March. March 31st, 2021. I am the Solomonster, your final Dynamite review before a very busy month of April. A ridiculously busy month of April coming up. As we close out another strong month here on the channel, hope everybody's having a great night. Thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage. I do appreciate it. I do hope that you enjoy the festive atmosphere here and the artwork courtesy of my man, Steve Mello, doing it up nice. I said, tonight we have to have an arcade theme. We had two big returns in the main event, which was the arcade match that I just mentioned. Chris Statlander, back after 8 months on the shelf with an ACL tear, she made her return in the main event. And Trent. We got to see Trent and his mom. You know, Trent and his mom have more main events than a lot of other talent in this company does. I believe this is their second one. The second Dynamite that Trent's mom, Sue, has ended in her career. She's building up quite a resume for herself. Trent was out for about, I want to say, just shy of 4 months, I believe, with a pec tear. He made his return tonight as well in what I thought was a very fun, hopefully, blow-off. I thought it was a fun main event. On the whole, I thought it was a very enjoyable episode of Dynamite. We had storyline advancement. We had some good action. We had a fun main event. Christian, we got to talk about Christian's in-ring debut. He stepped in the ring tonight against Frankie Kazarian in a very good opener, so I was pretty pleased overall with the show tonight. Sue is amazing, says Darlene in the chat. Sue, we have like a Sue fan club. Sue is quite great. Sue doesn't have to do much. All she has to do is drive and then wave, give a thumbs up or a middle finger. That's still the best ending of Dynamite I've ever seen. The parking lot brawl with Santana and Ortiz and the best friends with Sue giving them the finger as they drive off. Nothing's going to beat that. And for those of you who are still not aware, join! YouTube channel memberships are open. We hit kind of a big milestone. We've only had them open for about a week. And we already hit 50 members. In just 1 week, that number continues to climb. Where is Ken Terminated? Is he in the chat? Well, if he is, I want to thank Ken because Ken was our 50th member. So my thanks to him. So let's get into it tonight because we opened kind of hot with the in-ring AEW debut of Christian Cage, who likes to come out and talk about the fact that he's going to outwork everyone. And this was his first opportunity to prove it. To go out there and show us what he can do in his first singles match in 7 years. So you take away his appearance in the Royal Rumble and whatever it was that he did with Randy Orton, which really wasn't a match last year. Christian has not had a singles match since 2014. Out with concussions, forced into an early retirement. What would he look like in a one-on-one match? He hasn't wrestled Frankie Kazarian since their days in Impact. That goes back even longer. In fact, I think the last singles match they had might have been the year I started the podcast. Might have been 2007. I might have talked about that on that retro episode. You would only know if you were a member of the channel. I'm not going to spoil it for you. But Christian went one-on-one with Frankie Kazarian. And within the first few minutes of the match, Christian took a hellacious bump. He was sitting up on the top rope. He got pushed backwards and took a backwards bump out, hit the apron on the way down. Christian hit a tornado DDT for a near fall to begin to turn the tide. It wasn't looking too good for him there for a while, but he started to make a comeback. By the way, I have to admire the variety that Steve has included. On the bottom with all the sprites, we see Donkey Kong on the bottom. There you see little Mario, Space Invaders, right? We've got Scorpion, we've got Reptile, we've got Sub-Zero. Sub-Zero was always my favorite, but blue is my favorite color. We've got Sub-Zero, Ryu, oh, there, look at that. There's the Christian. Talk about the devil. There's the Christian Cage super chat right there. Christian's looking. He's looking. I don't know what he's looking for. He's looking for his peeps. He should be looking for LASIK or a pair of Warby Parker. But there's Ryu, there's Ken, there's Chun-Li, there's Frogger. I like it. I like it. Makes me very nostalgic now. There's Pac-Man with all his little ghost dudes. So Christian goes up to the top rope, and Christian ends up belly flopping. He goes for a big splash. There's nobody home. And Kazarian locks in the crossface chicken wing. Christian, though, makes it to the ropes for the break. Kazarian hit his springboard leg drop from the middle rope. Also, only gets a near fall out of it. And Kazarian hits the flux capacitor. Christian spent more time on that top rope tonight than I thought. Whether he was being executed upon or going to execute a move. He kept going. He had a little trouble at first when he went up top. It looked like he was a little worried. He didn't have his footing. So that looked a little weird. But he was up there quite a bit. Kazarian hit the flux capacitor, Spanish fly, off the top. And again, Christian kicks out. So Christian comes back with a frog splash. Kazarian kicks out. Tit for tat. It's kind of funny. As I'm talking about all these kickouts, all these near falls, yeah, I was reading an old interview with Ricky Steamboat earlier today. It's part of the research I was doing into WrestleMania 3 and the match he had with Randy Savage. I'm going to be talking about that on the podcast this weekend in the history segment. And it was funny to read Steamboat talking about, you know, are there any moves or anything that, you know, he wishes he could have done in that match that he didn't do? And one of the things he actually talked about is the fact that he wishes he had thrown in a spot where he hit what at the time was his finishing maneuver and Savage would kick out. But he made a comment. He goes, you know, this was back at a time when people weren't prostituting their finish. And it just struck me. And I don't think he meant anything malicious by it per se, but he's right. You know, it's one thing to have a really close near fall or somebody kick out of a big move, but we see it so often now that it just loses. You know, it's hard. It's hard to get one of those near falls that you really buy into. And it's a shame because Steamboat's 100% right. You don't want to prostitute yourself. Okay, remember that. The sage words of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Do not prostitute yourself. So we were coming very close to the 20-minute time limit, about 15 or so minutes in. Kaz got posted shoulder first when he ran into the corner. Shoulder first right into the steel post. Christian hits the kill switch for the win. I thought Christian looked good. He bumped his ass off in this match. He did look spent as we got towards the end. Those final few minutes, he did look very spent. But again, you got to keep in mind that this guy has not had a singles match in 7 years. It's very different being in a singles match for 15 minutes as opposed to being in a Royal Rumble match for, what was it, 18, 20 minutes, I think he was in the Royal Rumble for back in January. So it's to be expected. But I thought the match was good. I thought Kaz was the perfect opponent for him. Somebody you knew he was going to beat. You weren't going to beat him in his first match. They have chemistry. They've worked together. So I thought it was good. We had Cody Rhodes against QT Marshall in an unsanctioned exhibition match with Arn Anderson as the guest referee. Now, you know my thoughts on the whole Nightmare Family thing and QT Marshall. I have nothing personal against the man. But when I see him on my television, I am not excited in any way. There is nothing here appeals to me. But, to their credit, they gave us an unexpected twist here that I did not see coming. So they had all of the Nightmare Factory trainees surrounding the ring like lumberjacks for this match. And they were having a competitive back and forth until the break. We come back. And Cody is going for the figure four. And he chooses not to apply the move. Now, remember what he said last week. QT is his bet. Every time I say QT, I think of the word cutie. I hate even saying that. We'll call him Marshall. As he was talking to Marshall last week, he said, look, you, not only are you my friend, you're probably my best friend. Which we already have a group in this company called Best Friends, so that's already taken. He goes, I'm just going to tell you right now. If I have a chance to do the figure four, I'm not going to do it. If I have a chance to do the crossroads or any, you know, any of my big moves, I'm going to let you go. My goal is to not hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. You're my friend. Spoken like a true dumb baby face. We should have known something bad was going to happen to this guy. So he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't apply the hold. And he did the same thing when he had the chance to hit the crossroads. He thought better of it. So Cody was frustrating QT Marshall very much. And he holds the ropes open to allow him to get back into the ring. And QT Marshall, and by the way, I do see him now in the chat. I do see Ken Terminator. There he is. He might not have been here before, but he's here now. So everybody say welcome to Ken. Ken, I shouted you out before because you were the 50th member of our family, our channel, here on YouTube. And I wanted to thank you for that. And maybe before the night is over, we'll have 51, 52, and 53. I don't know. That's up to you guys. But he holds the ropes open for QT Marshall. QT gets into the ring. And the first thing he does when he gets into the ring is he punches Arn Anderson right in the face. Arn Anderson being the referee. Cole cocks him right in the face. And he immediately leaves the ring and he's standing on the ramp and he has this conflicted look on his face like, oh my God, I can't believe what I just did. All the Nightmare family members, they climb into the ring to check on poor Arn Anderson who didn't do anything wrong. And he got popped in the face for no reason. So he's out there, QT Marshall, looking like he, you know, he regrets what he just did. All of a sudden, the trainees, all of the Nightmare family trainees, they turn on the other members of the Nightmare family and they start attacking all of the veterans. They attack Cody. They attack Dustin. They attack Billy Gunn, who was out there with his kids. The Gun Club was out there. Lee Johnson took a very rough-looking powerbomb from the inside of the ring out onto the ramp. That looked like it sucked. That looked like a rough landing for him. On that powerbomb, Dustin, somewhere in here off camera, bladed himself because, of course, he did. His last name is Rhodes. You're shooting a major angle. What do? You bleed. So Dustin comes up bleeding, and they bring him over. QT says, bring him over to me. And they bring him over. Now, the ring steps, Nick Camerato, big guy. He's one of the Nightmare Family trainees who turned heel here. He hoisted the ring steps up onto the ramp. So QT is standing on the ring steps. Bring me Dustin. And they bring Dustin over to him, and he gives Dustin a pile driver on the ring steps. Dustin's bleeding. Blood's coming down from his head. So in the ring, one of the trainees is the boxer Anthony Ogogo. He has been training in the Nightmare Factory now for some time. And now, I've heard of the name Anthony Ogogo. I knew they signed him. I knew he was in training and they were doing something with him. But if you were to ask me any other questions about Anthony Ogogo, I would say, oh, no. I don't know. I'm not aware of his how good of a boxer he is or what his record is or how many championships he's held. Couldn't tell you. So I assume when he threw that left hook, was it left hook or a left jab, whatever it was, you could see I'm a big boxing aficionado. He threw a body blow at Cody, right in the midsection. All right, looked like any other body blow, but I guess coming from Anthony Ogogo, it was more devastating than the average body shot. QT calls for Cody to be brought over to him by the stairs. He places Cody onto the steps, holding his head down. He's going to give him like a concerto, it looks like, with a steel chair. When Red Velvet runs out, Red Velvet, I think she called him an asshole and said, what are you doing? Stop. Now, if they really wanted heel heat here, They would learn from the two-man power trip angle back in 2001 when Lita threw herself on top of Matt Hardy to protect him from the chair shots being given to him by Steve Austin. And Steve Austin took one look at this and said, and he proceeded to destroy Lita with a series of chair shots that I have to say, even then when it first aired, was a very uncomfortable angle. I mean, these are the sorts of things that you saw more often on you know, wrestling TV 20 years ago than you would today. But even then, that angle, that's one of those angles that I wouldn't be surprised if it's not already edited off the network. I saw earlier today that the DX segment impersonating the Nation of Domination has been removed. It's not even up on Peacock yet. It's gone from the network. I don't know if we have any international people tuned in right now. I don't know if this is in all countries or just here. We still have the network here until next week, or actually until Sunday. But I saw that report earlier, that segment, gone. And I wonder if that segment with the two-man power trip will be gone too. That was a bit over the top. But QT Marshall did not take out his frustrations on Red Velvet. They backed down, and they left. And the group, by the way, that left with QT Marshall was a Go-Go, Aaron Solo, and Nick Camerato. I thought the post-match stuff was well done. Let me just say that first. I thought the post-match stuff, I didn't see it coming. It was an interesting, clever little swerve. Perhaps it can make QT Marshall at least a little bit interesting to me. Probably not. I just don't have any interest in seeing him on my television. But, you know, I really haven't seen him cut that one great passionate promo yet. Maybe he has it within him. Maybe he has it within him to go out there next week, explain himself, look straight into the camera, and cut the promo of his life. I won't hold my breath. But I thought the angle was well done. But the thing is, and I know I'm not the only one who was left thinking about this, we now have a new faction on the AEW roster. We have another faction in AEW, because that's, of course, something that AEW doesn't have enough of, are stables. So now, and I made a little list here. And if I'm missing any, you guys will fill me in the chat. Of what all of the groups, the main groups, are in AEW right now. So the Nightmare Family, I guess, is kind of a group all unto itself. This is almost like the NWO, and now it has splintered. And now QT Marshall is the leader of NWO Wolfpack. So it's like having two Nightmare Families now. So that's two. We've got the Dark Order. We've got the Inner Circle. We've got the Pinnacle. We've got Team Taz, which looks like it's kind of on the verge of being no more. Death Triangle, which I have a feeling Death Triangle is over and done with, and I'll tell you why here in a little bit. But as of right now, you know, Pac is out with a ankle injury, hurt his ankle at Revolution. Matt Hardy's group, I think they're calling Matt Hardy's family or whatever the name is they gave it. Best Friends, right? Trent is back now. That's a three-man crew. That's a lot of groups. That is a lot. Even if you are a fan, and I don't mind having a lot of groups, but you just get to a point where enough is enough. I mean, how many groups are you supposed to have? It's almost like if I were in AEW and I wasn't part of a group, I would feel left out. I would just join a group for the sake of being able to join one. Lord Frieza just became a sound-off superstar. Lord Frieza, thank you for becoming a member here on the channel. I do appreciate that. Lord Frieza. And who else joined? Somebody else joined. Was it Uffman? I think it was Uffman Entertainment just became a member. And Steve Chappa. Look at that. Look at that. We just had the hat trick. Three new members in 60 seconds. I love it. Oh, that's right. Thank you. Jurassic Express. I knew I was going to miss one. I knew I would miss one. Jurassic Express. So that you throw that one on the list too. I think we can please put a moratorium on new groups. Let's focus on the groups that are there right now. A lot of these groups barely even get enough television time as it is. You know, at some point you have to say, when do you put a pause on it before you start adding new ones? So that would be my main criticism. But the angle itself I thought was well done. We had Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley better go find a faction real quick. He used to be part of one. They were kind of a big deal for a while. Right now he is a man with no faction. But he was in a match against Cesar Bononi, who had J.D. Drake and Nick Nemeth in his corner. Moxley had a promo before the match. He said that he can't get the sound of Eddie Kingston's ankle breaking at the hands of Omega and the Good Brothers a few weeks ago. He can't get the sound of it out of his head. He's being tormented by it. And he says he's tired of being beaten up by goons. He doesn't know whether the Young Bucks are in the fight with him or not. He's got burns and wounds from barbed wire at the pay-per-view that are pissing him off. And tonight he's got Cesar Bononi. And he goes, you're either going to get dropped on your head or you're going to get choked unconscious. So Bononi overpowered Moxley at the very beginning, before Moxley could even take him down. Nick Nemeth reached in, grabbed Moxley's boot. That allowed Bononi to take him down with a suplex. They go to a commercial break. Bononi was in control the entire time. Come back from break. His boys get involved. Moxley takes Nemeth down with an elevated paradigm shift. So that. And by the way, what was up with that tan? My God. He looked orange. He learns from his brother. But that took care of Nick Nemeth. And Bononi took Moxley over with a pump handle. Moxley, though, in the transit. I thought this was sweet. I actually thought this was very cool. So as Bononi takes him up in this pump handle motion, Moxley transitions it right into a sleeper hold, right into a rear naked choke. He takes him down. The referee calls for the bell. Jon Moxley picks up the win. Yeah, Moxley gave him a lot. He gave him more than I thought he would. So he gave him a lot in that match, but nothing much to it beyond that. So I don't know how many of you are. And by the way, JD Starlord, thank you for becoming a new member of the channel. I don't know how many of you are aware of the situation that's been unfolding. I've kind of been following it loosely on social media with Bononi and his wife. Unfortunately, his wife, I believe, has leukemia. And I know all too well about leukemia because my mother had it many years ago. And it is a shitty illness. But his wife apparently is in need of a bone marrow transplant. So it's a pretty serious situation. And I believe her sister is a match. So again, this is my understanding of the story. Her sister is a match for her bone marrow. The problem is her sister is in Brazil. And he was trying to get somewhere with the U.S. ambassador in Brazil. He was on social media tweeting them, trying to get some kind of response. He was getting absolutely nowhere. And meanwhile, this guy, his wife's life is hanging in the balance, and he's relegated to begging for a response, you know, from the embassy or whatever it is on social media. And all he was looking to do was get some kind of interview. That's really what he was trying to do. Time is kind of the essence here, because if she needs a transplant, right, there's a certain deadline to that, and he was obviously getting very nervous. And apparently AEW's legal team stepped in to try to save the day. He posted this tweet. We got an interview for tomorrow morning. That, I believe, would have been this morning. Thank you to AEW's legal team and everybody that helped retweeting, praying, and reaching out to their contacts. I still don't know how it happened, but I'm glad it did. So that was very cool. He gave another update. Said, my sister-in-law was granted an emergency visa, but unfortunately she tested positive for COVID. And she is not feeling any symptoms, but she cannot fly here, so we keep other travelers safe by not having her fly over. For now, another chemotherapy session will begin today or tomorrow. And probably next month, we can bring her over to get the transplant done. So I certainly hope that that is the case. I hope everything works out. I hope that she can get the transplant that she needs. It sucks, you know, when you have a family member who's going through something like that, and it's a life or death situation. It's kind of a race against the clock. You get desperate, and you'll do anything. And good on AEW for stepping in and trying to help him out. And hopefully everything works out. Kind of reminds me, you remember the movie John Q with Denzel Washington? I mean, pretty much anything Denzel Washington is in is going to get a thumbs up from me. But it just goes to, I was just watching that not too long ago. It just goes to show you, when it comes to family or it comes to your kids or anything like that, you will do anything to make sure that they get what they need to get. So hopefully everything works out. So backstage, we had, well, this is one of the better parts of the show. We had MJF. He was going to be giving a gift to the other members of the Pinnacle. And indeed, he was about to give them a gift when MJF himself was given an unexpected gift. They were in the locker room. Their locker room used to be the Inner Circle's locker room. Now it's theirs. And MJF introduces the gift, which is their new personal stylist. And they have an interior decorator who is going to help remodel the locker room. He says, that includes this disgusting, smelly bathroom. And he goes to open the bathroom door, and the door swings open, and we see Chris Jericho and the members of the Inner Circle with angry faces standing there staring right back at him. And MJF immediately shuts the door and says, we got to get out of here. And he goes to leave the dressing room, opens that door, and blocking his way, standing in the doorway, is Jake Hager, who pops him right in the mouth, and all of a sudden the Inner Circle, giant brawl, erupts. The Inner Circle is attacking all the members of the Pinnacle, totally dominating, by the way. This is just a one-sided ass-kicking. They are just kicking the shit out of all of MJF's guys. They brawled all over the backstage area. Sammy Guevara sent Sean Spears through a door, actually slammed the door on his head. Jake Hager put Wardlow through a massage table. Santana and Ortiz put Cash Wheeler in an ice bath outside. There just happened to be a bunch of, like, a sofa, and in the middle was an ice, this round ice bath. He fell in there. They cut over to Tully Blanchard. He got knocked down. There's Dax Harwood. He's got ketchup all over. I guess it's supposed to be blood. This is blood like the Young Bucks father had blood all over him a few weeks ago. He had blood all over his head. We didn't see how it happened. It's ketchup. Jericho put him. So we cut back to the locker room, right? Because they're brawling everywhere. It's just pandemonium. It's chaos. So back in the locker room, in the dressing room, Jericho's got MJF in the bathroom, and he puts him head first into the toilet. He gave him a swirly. Did he fly? I don't remember if he flushed. But yeah, this is what Steve Austin did to Brian Pillman at the King of the Ring back in 96. Put his head, his whole head, right in the bowl. Am I the only person, when I see that on television, I just get very, like, ugh. Like, even though I'm sure it's either, you know, just completely immaculately clean, or maybe it's like a brand new toilet they just installed, it still gives me the fucking heebie-jeebies. I still don't know if I would ever agree to something like that. I would have to, like, physically stand there and know. Like, there would have to be a brand new toilet installed right in front of me before I would even agree to something like that. It's just one of those things where it just skeeves me out just thinking about it. But anyway, MJF comes up. He's got all the toilet water on him. And Jericho puts him headfirst through a vending machine that was in the dressing room as well. Pours out a bottle of bubbly on top of him. They drag MJF out, and they take back their locker room. It was a great brawl. A lot of fun. Very one-sided. But it was designed to be that way because this was the Inner Circle's revenge. We haven't seen the Inner Circle probably in, what, 3 weeks? 2 or 3 weeks? Last time we saw them, they were on the receiving end of an ass-kicking, and so now it was MJF's turn. Now it was the Pinnacle's turn to get their asses handed to them, and that's what this was. This was a one-sided ass-kicking. And I still feel the same way now that I felt a few weeks ago when this group first formed. And remember the comment I made? I said, this seems to me like it is tailor-made to lead to a blood and guts match. We've been seeing a lot of this lately in AEW, from the exploding barbed wire death match. Dustin tonight was blading, you know, in the attack in that segment. We've had unsanctioned matches. We had the unsanctioned lights out match with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Even the main event tonight, Arcade Anarchy. No rules. False count anywhere. Basically no holds barred. You can tell Tony Khan used to be a really big ECW fan back in the day. It's very obvious. I think all roads are leading to a blood and guts match, which is their version of War Games. They were going to do it a year ago. Pandemic hit. Couldn't go to Newark and do the match. They're supposed to be back in Newark later in the year. Who even knows? I think a lot of those shows, frankly, are still going to get pushed back. So do you just keep waiting and waiting and waiting, or do you go to Double or Nothing in May and have yourselves a blood and guts match between the Pinnacle and the Inner Circle? You know, last year we got Stadium Stampede. This just feels to me like the payoff to this is going to be blood and guts. I still feel that way. The Young Bucks were in the back, and they were being interviewed by Alex Marvez. And they really didn't want to air their dirty laundry. Don Callis walked up. Nick Jackson walked away. Nick Jackson doesn't really say much. You ever notice that? Nick Jackson is like one of the most uninteresting people to watch on this show. Very talented. Very talented in the ring. One of the most boring people on all of AEW Dynamite. Anytime he's on my television screen, he doesn't say anything. You know, and when he does talk, it's like, So we were left with Matt. We were left with Matt Jackson and Don Callis. And Don Callis said that he broke Kenny Omega's heart last week. He asked him, what happened to you? Why haven't you shown any care for the people who loved you, for your best friends? What's the matter with you? What's the matter? What's the matter with you? Said he's not sure how to get through to him. He's so cold and quiet. I don't know how to get through to you. And then he turns and he smacks him right across the face. And Matt Jackson grabs him by his collar, his shirt collar, but then he lets go of him. And Don Callis looks disappointed. He goes, that's it? That's what you're going to do? He says, you're pathetic. And he walked away. Which led to Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers against the Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid. Here's what I thought, top line thoughts here about this match. Nonstop action, which is what you would expect given who was involved, right? Nonstop action, total spot fest. And if you are into the spot fest type of matches, then you probably thought this was a great match. I thought this was good. I thought there was a lot of action here. I get kind of numb sometimes to these. We get these every week. There's at least one of these every single week. You know, it's so much, it's even hard to follow what's going on. So it was a spot fest, but I thought it was a damn good one. If you grade it on that scale, I thought it was a damn good one. You guys hear me praise Rey Fénix all the time, but Laredo Kid was the real star here. I thought Laredo Kid looked excellent. I feel like what we may be seeing here is the beginning of the end of Death Triangle. And I have no idea how long Pac is going to be out for. I didn't hear about him having any kind of surgery. I just heard that his ankle was wrecked a little bit at the pay-per-view. It could be a minor thing. He could be back in a few weeks. But with him being out, and now this is the second week we've seen Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid together as a trio, it just seems to me like if Laredo Kid were to stick around, there's your new trio. And doesn't it make more sense to have the three of them paired up as opposed to Pac? Pac kind of feels a little out of place with them, right? He's this silent, brooding type. He's not a luchador. I mean, he does a lot of, you know, aerial stuff, but Laredo Kid is a much better fit if you're going to have a trio. So I wonder. Maybe this is the new Death Triangle. I just wonder if when Pac does come back, how much longer, if at all, we're going to see that alliance kept together, especially if Laredo Kid is going to stick around. So we had Omega and Laredo Kid in the ring, and Laredo Kid hit a pair of moonsaults for a two count. Omega countered a corner attack with a running takedown before tagging in Luke Gallows, or Doc Gallows, or whatever the hell you want to call him. Call him Festus, or Festivus, or Fake Kane. He has a lot of aliases. Gallows comes in. And the Good Brothers and Omega, they're isolating Laredo Kid. Frequent tags. Penta gets the hot tag. He hits a pair of sling blades before tagging in Rey Fénix, who landed a Casadora into a splash. And after some quick tags, all three men splashed Karl Anderson. Fénix went for the cover. Omega broke up the pin. Penta broke up a magic killer attempt in the middle of all this and then hit Omega with a destroyer. Karl Anderson landed a spine buster on Rey Fénix. Laredo Kid broke up the pin with a top rope splash. Laredo Kid was everywhere here in this match. Omega tags in, and with the Laredo Kid in there, they go one-on-one. Omega reverses a springboard attempt into a powerbomb, followed by a V-trigger for a near fall. Sets up for the one-winged angel, but Laredo Kid counters and sends Omega to the floor, follows that up with a dive. Shocking, I know. Penta and Fénix, they splash the Good Brothers on the floor. Laredo Kid lands a Michinoku driver for a near fall. Omega avoids a Fénix splash, hits the one-winged angel, and that's all she wrote. Ain't nobody kicking out of that. Laredo Kid is pinned, and the Good Brothers and Kenny Omega pick up the win en route to what is going to be a big match next week. Jon Moxley came out when the match was over, and he was joined on the ramp by the Young Bucks, who did not turn on him, not yet. They stormed the ring. The heels bailed. We're getting the six-man tag next week. I hope that's not what this is leading to. Obviously, they're telling some kind of a story here with at least Matt Jackson, if not the both of them. Is it going to lead to the Young Bucks siding with Kenny Omega and turning on Jon Moxley next week? I hope not. Hikaru Shida and Ty Conti against Nyla Rose and the Bunny. Shida made a comeback, suplexing the Bunny into Nyla Rose. Ty Conti tagged in for the first time, hit some judo throws and multiple knee strikes. Out on the floor, she hit a backbreaker on Bunny right in front of Matt Hardy, the Dark Order. Yeah, Matt Hardy and his crew were present. The Dark Order was present. Because the Dark Order, you know, I don't know if Ty Conti is officially a member of the Dark Order or not. I don't believe she is. But she is very good friends with Anna Jay. Anna Jay is out. She had shoulder surgery, so maybe it's just a case of the Dark Order sort of looking after Ty Conti, the absence of Anna Jay. But they were all out there, right? So you got two factions to come back to factions. You got two factions out there. And Dark Order and the Hardy's group, they start going at it. Conti hits the Ty KO to the Bunny. Nyla Rose breaks up the fall. And then came what was a very sloppy dive spot. I hated this. Shida climbs up to the top rope. And she does she's taking her time, and she does a dive out to the floor. I don't even know who she's diving on. As the camera follows her, we see that she has dove onto the doggy pile of Dark Order members and members of the Hardy family. Why, but she dives out onto them, right? So that's dumb enough. But then, I think it was Ty Conti who climbed up to the top rope immediately after, and it took her a while to kind of steady herself before she was ready to dive. So now you've got all the guys down below. They're holding Shida, and they have to stand there. They stand there like a bunch of idiots. I hate this. I hate stuff like this. They're just standing there waiting and waiting and waiting, and eventually Ty Conti comes off the top, and they all fall down like bowling pins. They all fall down. Far too convoluted. I thought that sucked. I thought that was dumb. I hated that. Back inside, the bunny has possession of the kendo stick, hits Ty Conti with it, and then hits her down the rabbit hole finish for the win. So the bunny picks up the win for the Hardy family. I guess the Hardy Family Office, is that what it's called? I wrote that down here. Hardy Family Office, I think, is what Excalibur called them. I don't know if that's the official name or not. Wasn't really a fan. I mean, Ty Conti, again, I have said that every time I see her, she looks good. She's improving. I think she can at some point be one of the big stars, you know, at or near the top of that women's division. So I like seeing her improve, and I like seeing her on TV. The match itself, though, if this were a buy or sell, I would sell on this match. Main event was Arcade Anarchy, hence the theme that you see here on this, a very festive theme. It makes me want to go play some Nintendo games. That's where it really wants. It makes me want to go do that. But it was Miro and Kip Sabian against Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. We had wrestlers playing various arcade games all around the ringside area. They had other games out there as well that you would find in a typical arcade. I can remember the days here in Brooklyn of when I used to frequent Funtime USA. That was the place in the 24/7 title segment on SmackDown many years ago with Crash Holly, when Crash Holly was playing video games and the Headbangers were trying to sneak up behind him and pin him for the hardcore title. And he went down the giant slide into the ball pit. That was Funtime USA, which unfortunately hasn't been there for many, many years. Now it's a giant storage facility. But I spent many a quarter, not just on the arcades, they had the bumper cars, they had the giant hammer, test your strength, air hockey. I do miss that place. We don't really have any arcades anymore, not around here. But they had other machines, the claw. Remember the claw? The claw! The claw, remember Toy Story? The claw! What are those things called? Those little alien guys. They had a whack-a-mole machine. Only way to win is by pinfall or submission. Anything goes. Orange Cassidy puts Kip Sabian through the whack-a-mole machine. It's like the first minute of the match. He puts this guy through the whack-a-mole machine. I love me some Sova, says 8 Mott Street in Manhattan. Is that an arcade? I haven't been in Manhattan in a year. It'll be a while before I'm back there. But yeah, I don't know of any... God, not where I am. Yeah, Dave & Buster's even. I haven't been to a Dave & Buster's probably since the one in Times Square, and that was many years ago. You just don't find as many of them anymore. Chuck Taylor got suplexed onto a piece of the security railing, the security barrier that was propped up against the wall. But he came back, and he ended up jumping off the top of a Mortal Kombat arcade onto Miro. So they're teeing off on Miro with a trash can lid and a kendo stick. They're beating the hell out of this guy. They pick up one of the security barricades and they use it on Miro as a battering ram. They are trying to take this guy out. They're piling the debris now on top of him. They're putting a table on top of him and chairs and stuff. That's when I realized that it was false count anywhere. I didn't even realize until this point that the match was false count anywhere. I knew that anything goes. And you could only win by pinfall or submission, but I didn't even know that it was false count anywhere. Now, maybe Justin Roberts said that and I didn't hear him. I don't think the announcers really made that clear. So I realized, okay, cool. False count anywhere. Kip Sabian breaks it up. Chuck Taylor grabs a teddy bear. And he climbs into the ring with Sabian. And he pulls open the back of the teddy bear. He is trying to disembowel this teddy bear. And out from the teddy bear pours all of these Legos, like thumbtacks, all over the ring. And Tony Schiavone freaks out. It prompts this great rant by Tony Schiavone, who is remembering now. He's having awful, awful flashbacks to his little brats from the 90s. I guess Tony must have stepped on a Lego or two in his day as a parent. So he was ranting on his little brats there for a bit. Sabian ends up powerbombing Chuck onto the Legos. Orange Cassidy breaks up the pin attempt. Orange Cassidy with a tornado DDT to Kip Sabian, followed by Beach Break for a close near fall. The Orange Punch connects, drops Kip Sabian. Now, when he goes for the pin, when OC goes for the pin, Penelope Ford is outside the ring, and she pulls the referee out, thus breaking up the fall. Orange Cassidy goes outside. She kicks him in the dick. He won't be given a thumbs up after that. Not with that part of his body, anyway. So, she's pulling her belt off. I don't know what she's about to do. And we see that there's a machine nearby. And it is the UFO catcher. And who should pop up from inside the UFO catcher machine? It is the alien herself, Chris Statlander, making her first appearance, her return to Dynamite, first time in 8 months from her ACL surgery. The Claw! Here comes Chris Statlander. I thought that was very clever. She takes Penelope off the apron with a Michinoku driver down through an air hockey table. Miro grabs a chair, and he's using it on Chuck and Orange Cassidy. I mean, he is waylaying these guys. He's pulverizing them with this chair. So, all of a sudden, we see there is a car pulling into Daly's place. It is a white van. And so, who should be driving the van but Sue? Sue, what is Trent's last name? Mariscolo or something? We'll call her Sue. It is Trent and his mom. Trent is back. Trent has been out with a pec tear for a few months. His mom gave him a ride to work. How nice of her. That must be nice. That way he doesn't have to carpool with any of these guys. He can just have his mom drive him to work every day. Maybe she packs him a lunch as well. Why not? So the best friends are reunited. They go right after Miro. They start kicking his ass. He's fighting him off, though. He's throwing thrust kicks, mule kicks. And then he looks over at Trent's mom, and he smiles, and he starts waving, and he starts making his way towards the van. Now, I'm a little confused about what he was trying to do here, because clearly the door to the van was still open. You know, like the passenger door. But he starts, like, climbing on top of, like, the hood. Like, what was this fucking guy doing? Why would you do that? The door is open. You want to get into the van. What he wants to do to her in this van, that's not very PG. So I don't know what the fuck this guy was trying to do here. He starts to climb up onto the van, and then he gets attacked from behind. So they brawl back to ringside. Miro grabs a Mortal Kombat 2 machine. I have that machine downstairs. It's one of those arcade one-up machines. I have that exact same machine. It has all three Mortal Kombats on there, in fact. The original Mortal Kombat, Mortal Kombat 2, Mortal Kombat 3 Ultimate. I got it downstairs. So I cringed when he picked up this arcade and he threw it. He destroyed this arcade. Well, you know what? Better that he destroys that than something like WrestleFest. If they had found a WrestleFest arcade and destroyed it, I don't think I would have been able to watch that. It would have just ripped my heart right out of my chest. So Trent then spears Miro through a table that was propped up against the wall. Chuck Taylor hits a running power slam to Kip Sabian off the stage, down through a table below, and he gets the three count. The best friends win. Arcade Anarchy. Well, I'll say this. I thought that it was a lot of fun. It was no parking lot brawl between Santana and Ortiz and Best Friends. Best Friends have now had two similar types of main events on Dynamite, right down to Trent's mom, but it did not top what we saw with Santana and Ortiz. That was very different anyway, because that wasn't a match that was played up for comedy, not too much. It wasn't really played up for laughs. It was a brutal match. It was an excellent match. This wasn't that. I would not put this above that. But I did think it was a fun match. And it's good to see Chris Statlander back. She's out there celebrating with Best Friends. They're all giving one big hug. And to end the show, Trent's up on the ropes. He's looking over at his mom's van. They cut to Sue. Sue is sitting in the driver's seat. She gives the thumbs up to her son. And then, in a shocking moment at the end of the show, the van explodes. No, I'm kidding. Now, that's a swerve I wouldn't have seen coming. You want to hook people in to tune into the show next week. That fucking van should have blown up. It's a taped show, right? So you get Sue out of there. And all we see is we see a van in the background with Trent in the foreground standing on the ropes, giving the thumbs up, and the van goes boom. You can't tell me that wouldn't have been a great fucking finish. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. So I thought the feel-good ending to the end of the show, fun main event, fun show overall. I thought this was a strong episode of Dynamite. I enjoyed it. Next Wednesday, it's going to be Jon Moxley and the Young Bucks against Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. We've got the Bunny one-on-one with Ty Conti. We've got Darby Allin defending his TNT championship against J.D. Drake, and Jurassic Express are going to be taking on Bear Country. See, I made it very clear that I would make sure Sue is out of the car first before I blow it up. I'm not a monster. I mean, I guess I am a monster. I'm a solid monster, but I'm not that much of a monster. I don't want to kill the fucking woman. I want to give the illusion that you've killed the fucking woman. But then you got to figure out, okay, well, now what? What's the next part of this story? I'm fine with this being the end of the story here with these teams. I think this was the blow-off to the feud. And now Miro and Kip can move on to something, or Miro at least, can move on to something else. That's my other hope here. We can start to kind of move Miro onto whatever the next thing is going to be. Yeah, I think Miro as TNT champion, and maybe that's something they're building towards at some point. Later in the year, you know, maybe he'll be the one to beat Darby Allin. It just seems to me like, you know, that's the perfect level for him to settle in at. And maybe he gets a dominant run with the championship for a while. I'm not saying thrust him into main. I don't want to see him in main events right now. But I want to see him work his way up the ladder in the company and really, you know, see what he can do and see what he's made of and see how kind of high up he can get. I think that's probably, you know, as I look ahead here at potential opponents for Darby Allin, you can say maybe Lance Archer, who's someone who just feels very directionless, right? Oh, I just realized something. Wait a minute. Was this the first week where we did not have Sting on the show? I know they had a promo segment with Darby Allin. I was looking down as he cut his promo. Darby was wearing like a Matt Hardy mask or whatever, and you know, going off on Matt Hardy. But I'm trying to think. I don't think we had Sting. I mean, certainly not in the flesh. We didn't have Sting on the show this week. I believe that might be the first time Sting was not on the show. Sting has been on every single episode of Dynamite since the Winter is Coming episode where he debuted. Far too many appearances for Sting. Far too many appearances because they rarely have anything for him to do. And yes, I believe it was. He was in a promo. That doesn't count. Was he? He was in the vignette. God damn it. All right. Well, everyone's saying he did make an appearance in the vignette. I guess that counts. All right. Well, I take it back. Everything I just said, I take back. They got to get him on the show. Is it in his contract or something that he has to be on the show every single week? I mean, could they be doing a better job of making this guy not feel special? It was the most uneventful. How about that? The most uneventful Sting appearance that we've had yet since he debuted. The AEW poll right now has about 80% thumbs up and 20% thumbs down as compared to NXT. As we see here, NXT 64% thumbs up, 35.7% thumbs down. NXT is moving. NXT is moving to Tuesdays. We knew it was coming. WWE made it official this week. The war is over, people. The war is over. like you still had, after World War II, you still had like these Japanese soldiers that were in the forests and the wilderness for like years. They thought the war was still going on. People had to go in there and say, no, the war is over. No more. I have to let everybody, I feel it's my duty to let everybody know that, in case you didn't already know, the war is over. And what a bloody, bruising battle it was between AEW and NXT. My God, I mean, fighting over those, 775,000 people every single week. But the war is over. NXT is moving to Tuesdays beginning after WrestleMania, April 13th. Before anybody asks me, no, I am not going live on Tuesdays every week after NXT. Now, I might consider doing it that first week, especially if they load up the show, that first episode on the 13th, I would consider it. But no, I don't have any plans of going live on Tuesdays. I'll still be live with you on Wednesdays, and that is how I intend to keep it for the time being. But I do think it is a much overdue move. And I will talk more about this on the podcast on Sunday. I had pitched Thursdays. Tuesdays, just as good. But here's the thing. Because we have a lot of AEW fans, right? This is an AEW stream. And so I want to make it very clear for the people who are very excited. Oh, the good guys won. AEW wins the war, right? Okay. I think people have this misconception now that AEW, they're going to get 1 million viewers every single week on Dynamite. You might want to temper those expectations. You might have a week here and a week there where it happens. And AEW, by the way, does routinely get over 1 million viewers every week. When you factor in the DVR numbers, AEW is doing 1 million plus viewers every single week. It's just not reflected in the overnight numbers, which is what everybody looks at, the overnight audience, the demos, and that's very important. But I think people have it in their head that all of a sudden NXT is going to go away and AEW is going to be pulling 900,000, 1 million, 1.1 million every single week. It's not going to happen. And now AEW is in a tough spot because if they don't perform, if they don't somehow make up this ground that people think, NXT is stealing these viewers away from them, if 3 weeks from now, Dynamite is pulling the same 750 or 800 or 825. That's going to be embarrassing for AEW. What are those people going to say then? So you can talk about NXT tucking their tail and moving and all that, but I would just tell the AEW fans who are kind of gloating over this to not gloat so loudly until we get a better sense of exactly what this is going to look like. Because I don't believe for a second that AEW is pulling 1 million viewers every single week. Not going to happen. I hope it does. I hope both shows. I hope their audiences swell. But I don't see it happening. So I would just tell people to temper their expectations. Don't go too crazy. I'm going to bring up your super chats, your comments about tonight's show. We could talk about Dynamite or anything else. This is the final stream here for the month of March. As we close out the month, Manny D. I have to shout out Manny D. He also became a member earlier or yesterday, maybe, I think it was. But thank you for the super chat. Been listening since 2010. That's awesome. That is awesome. Thank you. Boston. Boston Games Real with the $5. They got the teamwork to make the dream work. Let's go Mets. If you have to pick Shea or Citi Field. Citi Field. It's a nice ballpark. Nice ball. I look forward one day, maybe next year, to going back to sit. I just haven't been to Citi Field in forever, even before the pandemic. It's not even a pandemic thing. I hadn't been to a single Mets game that season before. I am overdue. So I am looking forward, though, to the day where I can get back to the Mets games. Citi is a nice ballpark, though. There's no pool in there. Like there's that stadium in Arizona, I think it is. We don't have anything like that, but... Ryan Spies, thank you for the five. It is easier to keep track of the Nightmare family now. Is that your glass half full way of looking at it? Ryan says, nice to see Cesar getting booked and getting money considering the situation that he and his family are in right now. I hope everything ends up okay for them. Indeed. If you're tuning in late, I just talked about that a little bit earlier. It's a rough family situation that he is going through right now. But it looks like things might be on the upswing. I hope it is. Hope everything works out with his wife. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99 super chat. Appreciate it. Ryan again, dropping a lot of love tonight. Main event was a 10-star match and the best match in wrestling history. Only negative was it was the end to the greatest feud in wrestling history. If I didn't know any better, I would think that Ryan was being a little sarcastic. Because it's not April 1st yet. We got another 43 minutes before it's April 1st. Everybody needs to remember that, by the way. People forget sometimes they wake up on April Fool's morning and they read a story. Vince McMahon spotted, you know, backstage at AEW or something. And they're like, oh, what? And they forget, oh, it's April Fool's Day. So don't be fooled. There's going to be a lot of idiots on social media trying to fool you into thinking that this is a real story and that's a real story. You'll wake up in the morning and read that Solomonster has signed some kind of exclusive deal with SiriusXM and is getting his own studio and is getting his own show. And April Fool's. Not true. Not that I would mind that, but not true. Not going to happen. Although that would be something very nice to wake up to and find out. It would be news to me if I read about that on my Twitter timeline in the morning. Magician Sapphire with the $10. Okay, that arcade anarchy was beautifully insane. Domination Warrior. Seeing that thumbnail makes me miss the days of the Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter videos, especially the one with Akuma versus Chameleon. Good luck covering those 20 WrestleManias. Yes. I don't know if I'll be able to pull it off, but I'm going to try. This Week in Wrestling History on Sunday. This Week in Wrestling History, there were 20 WrestleManias. And I am aiming to cover them all. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. I thought this was an entertaining show besides the QT stuff, which I thought was just bad. Next week's show, though, looks pretty stacked. Oz and Glorious. With the $5 super chat. Good show. I enjoyed it. But for the love of God, AEW, please stop putting QT Marshall on TV when Lance Archer barely is ever featured. Well, Lance Archer is waiting for Sting. And, you know, Sting was not... He was not physically present on the show tonight. The only reason we didn't get Lance Archer on the show tonight is because he didn't have a Sting promo to interrupt. I don't know that he knows anything else but that. If he hears the dulcet tones of Sting's voice, he and Jake will come running. But there was no Sting promo to interrupt. He didn't know what to do with himself, so he just went home. I mean, if not to interrupt Sting, then what is there for him to do? Ryan Spies, did you see Ivelisse seemingly burned her bridge in AEW? Surprised it took her this long, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know what the hell is going on with Ivelisse. There was some kind of cryptic tweet. I don't know if there's problems or not. It seems like there might be. You know, at some point, when you just go from one promotion to another, and all of these problems follow you from point A to point B to point C, D, E, and F, at some point, you have to come to the realization that maybe the problem isn't so much the company. Maybe the problem is me. And it sucks because I advocated for Ivelisse to get an opportunity in AEW. I talked about her. I said, how come they haven't given her, in WWE as well, how come they haven't given her a look? How come? And WWE did. There was a tryout, and apparently it didn't go so well. But, you know, the more that stuff like this happens, if there is something going on, you know, if she is in the process of potentially spoiling what, you know, could be a great opportunity for her, even though they haven't really used her of late, then, yeah, you kind of wash your hands of it, and that's it. Kind of wasted talent, and it is what it is. I mean, how many times are we going to hear stories about Evilise having issues with this company and that company? At some point, you got to look in the mirror and realize that the problem is right here. Stephen Chapa with the $30 Christian Cage super chat from earlier. Stephen, thank you very much. I think Stephen just joined and became a member as well. I have to send the one and only Orange Cassidy sounds off some high C money after that main event. I appreciate that. Rodimus Prime with the $10. Awesome main event. Happy to see Chris Statlander back in the fold. Lord Frieza and Ken Terminated, two of our newest members on the channel. Lord Frieza with the $10. Gonna have to make a quick exit. My dad made it home after 21 days in the hospital. Stay safe. Well, that is awesome. I am very happy to hear that. I hope that all is well with your father. Ken Terminated. I pop when my hero Rick Steamboat says that word. What word might that be? I feel like this was in reference to something I was saying earlier. Oh, prostitute. Is that what it was? Prostitute? Thank you, Ken. Burnt dried chicken without flavor. Nothing worse. Nothing worse than that. Since the Fiend is all burned up, I am not dried chicken without flavor anymore. I am now burnt dried chicken without flavor. It is Randy Orton's fault. Does that mean black goo is going to come out of my mouth as I am streaming here? Vitamin Vision Television with the $10. Great episode of Dynamite. Only criticism is that there are way too many factions. There is nobody that stands alone. Everybody seems to be in a faction. Well, John Moxley's not in a faction. Hangman Page, I guess, has been aligned with the Dark Order. But yeah, Moxley. Moxley's not part of a faction right now. Ken, my gimmick equals complain when chat doesn't say hi. I can tell. I see that in the chat every single week. It might be time for a new gimmick. You might want to take after Ed Leslie. Ed Leslie, he cycled through a whole bunch of gimmicks in his career. You know, when one would get tiresome, he would come up with another one. Oz and Glorious. Ken Terminated's gimmick is pretty great, but he is no Heather Monroe. I have no idea what's going on here. Uffman Entertainment just became a Sound Off legend tonight. Boom! I like hearing that. I like hearing that. Uffman is one of our wrenches in the chat. He does a great job. Now he is officially a member. Sabian in the chat says, where has Luis been? Well, Luis is a member as well. Luis is one of our members. I haven't seen him in the chat recently, but he is also a member here on the channel. Ryan Spies, QT actually cuts good heel promos on Sammy's vlog. Well, you know what? Bring it on. Bring it to TV. Look, I'm going to keep an open mind about QT Marshall. I'm just being honest. Right now, when I see him on my television, what they have him doing is not exciting or interesting to me at all. And if him having a little group of trainees is going to make him somehow more interesting, if he's going to get a microphone in his hand and cut promos on television like the ones that you're talking about on Sammy's vlog, then bring it on. I would love to see it. Because I'm not watching Sammy's vlog at the moment. I'm watching Dynamite. That's all I care about. So, make him interesting to me. Give me a reason to care. Keeping an open mind about it. I just haven't seen it myself. I have not seen that yet from him. I don't care what he's doing on Sammy's vlog. I care about what I'm watching here on this show. Andrew, thank you for becoming a Sound Off superstar, my friend. You now have access to the badges and the emojis and some other special stuff coming up as well, so I thank you. Yes, I know music is played. I have the music as a little bed. Guy, calm down. I know. It's on purpose. If you want me to lower it a little, I can, but the music is just for some ambient noise. I did not forget. I put that on purpose. Dried chicken without, or a, I'm sorry, burnt. I have to get used to this. Burnt dried chicken. AEW might as well make more title belts, since more factions and stables are being created. I've said, trios titles. If you're going to add titles, then in this company, trios belts make all the sense in the world. I would be okay with that. I'd be fine with them introducing trios titles. Brian Gates. What's up, Sala Monster? Big fan. Stay safe. You too, Brian. I say it at the end of my podcast every single week. I've been saying it for years, right? Be well, stay safe. Ken Terminator, did you make a video on World Class? They had the six-man titles over the rivalry between the Von Erichs and the Freebirds. I wonder why AEW does not follow. I think they will. I think they will. Just a matter of time. I think it's inevitable trios titles are going to make their way into AEW, possibly even later this year. Burnt dried chicken Ryan Nemeth was the Orange Goblin tonight. Now he got me thinking about Hulk Hogan and Pete Dunne. Burnt dried chicken. I love the graphic art tonight. The Mortal Kombat versus Street Fighter on the bottom looks great. Sub-Zero all day. And shout out to the fantastic Steve Mello for putting together the Arcade Anarchy artwork on the stream tonight. We got to make things, you know, you got to theme it up. You got to tie it into the theme of the show. But yes, he did a fantastic job with that. Quintus Brown, there's an arcade spot in Williamsburg, Brooklyn called Barcade. You should check it out when the world is normal again. I've heard of that, actually. I have heard of that. I have heard of Barcade. Don't think I've been there, but I have heard of it. Lone Wolf with the 10 spot. Here's a game you haven't mentioned. WrestleMania, the arcade game. Did you play it back in the day? Of course. Of course I did. WrestleMania, the arcade game. That's the one with the Undertaker would throw spirits and tombstones, and Doink would throw hammers, and Bret Hart would throw hearts. It was a very small roster. I only had six guys in it, I think, right? Or maybe eight. It was Razor Ramon, Bam Bam Bigelow, Doink the Clown, Lex Luger, Bret Hart, Yokozuna, Undertaker. And I believe that's it. So I wish they had more people in the game. But yes, I played it a lot back in the day. Jacob Barnes, thank you for the $5. No message, just wanted to show some support here on the channel. That means a lot. Derek Jackson, the Peacock app is messing up already. I got a feeling that the whole Attitude Era will be deleted and edited to no end. Sir Iz Manson, do you reckon that Charmel versus Vicky Guerrero in a one-hour Iron Man match will be the best female wrestling match ever? No. No, I do not. I believe that honor belongs to Charmel and Jenna Maraska from TNA. Burnt Dry BDC, we'll call him BDC. How about that? Big Daddy Cool. BDC with the $5 super chat. I officially declare that AEW's world title is now the number one most beautiful belt today. Not a fan of the new IWGP World Heavyweight title belt. You know, I posted a picture of them side by side. It really is night and day. It's one of those things where if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the lighting also did that belt no favors. I have since seen pictures of the title in different lighting from the belt maker. It actually does not look bad. It actually is a very nice looking belt. If you saw this picture that I saw, you would I wish I could bring it up, but it actually does not look as bad as I initially thought it looked. But it's not the IWGP belt. You know, it still doesn't hold a candle to that other belt, and I just don't see the reason to change away from it. Unless they're just lazy and they just don't want to keep adding the names onto the side plates because they had the names of all the former champions on there. It just looked and felt like the most prestigious belt in all of wrestling. It looked visually great, and it was big. And this belt is not big. It is a small belt. And I just don't know why you would feel the need to switch away. It's one thing to get rid of the Intercontinental belt, kind of like unify the titles and just have the one IWGP. You've already gotten rid of the Intercontinental belt, which was also a nice looking belt. But why get rid of the IWGP? It just upsets me. It was the best looking belt in all of wrestling. And now it might be the AEW belt, actually. It might be. AEW's world belt looks good too. Darlene, thank you for the $5. With the amount of factions, could you see AEW doing an all factions pay-per-view at some point? Not a pay-per-view. I could see maybe a themed episode of Dynamite, gang warfare, you know, something like that. Yeah, I can see that. Not a pay-per-view, though. Gotta remember, this company only has 4 pay-per-views a year. They're not gonna waste one of those 4 pay-per-views on, you know, gang warfare and not have any singles match. I wouldn't recommend them doing that anyway. But as a one-off kind of themed episode of the TV show, yeah, I can see that. Juan Ocampo, JBL books NXT now. Triple H don't like working Tuesdays. There you go. The Genius, Jason signs with Spotify for $100 million. Jason who? I don't know who that is. Never heard of him. Quintus Brown, the Mets just signed Lindor to a, oh good, to a 10-year, $340 million contract. Well, then I will, I'm taking your word for it, if that is official. But I will salute to that. Anything to help out this team. We have a billionaire owner who has the money, who has the resources to make moves like that. It's time to break open the piggy bank and do what needs to be done to get this team back to their winning ways. So I hope that is true. Keyshawn Gatewide with the $2. Appreciate that. Let's see here. Who do we got? Barnyard, Ed Barnyard 90 with the $5. Is it just me? Or does it seem like more and more to understand what happens on Dynamite, you have to watch both Darks, BTE, and apparently now Sammy's blog? Yeah, you know, I think it's great that they have all that supplemental content, and it's fine to tell stories on those shows, but you really, because there is so much of it, you cannot have this expectation. You can flesh out characters on there, but you cannot have the expectation that people who watch your television show are tuning into all of these different YouTube shows, right? You can't just assume that. And you can't expect that people are going to be tuned into each and every single one of those shows. So if QT Marshall is cutting promos on one of those shows that are out of this world, well, then I'd like to see it on the Wednesday show. Otherwise, it don't mean shit to me. Let's get some of that on Dynamite and see what he's got. Boomerang with the $5. Hey, Solomonster, don't know if you heard, but the Mets locked down Lindor for the next decade. We have our face of the franchise. I just heard. Like 2 super chats ago. I am very happy. Even though this is a franchise that does not have a lot of luck with long-term contracts, we have been burned by them before. A lot of teams have been burned by those long contracts, but I'm glad the move was made. Ryan in the chat disagrees. He says, Lindor is coming off his worst statistical year. This could turn into a typical Mets deal, a noose around the franchise. It could, but I'm willing to take that chance because it's not my money. So, it's not a noose around my neck. If it turns out that way, it's just another sad chapter in the history of a sad franchise, but there is always the chance that it could pay off for us. So you gotta believe. You gotta stay optimistic. Derek Jackson, the IWGP belt shape reminds me of the WWE United States belt. It does. It reminds me of the US belt. I've seen the comparisons to the butterfly belt and Cody's neck tattoo. And yes, I've seen all of that. I'm not a huge fan of the shape. But again, in different lighting with this other photo I saw, it was like sitting on a desk. It's got the different colored, emeralds or whatever, the blue and the red, and, you know, just shined in a different way. It's a very shiny belt. The lighting in that, in those screenshots, when Ibushi was holding it, it didn't look right. And people said the same thing about the U.S. title when they debuted the new belt. Oh, God, it looks terrible. And then in different lighting, it actually looked better. Even though I'm not really a fan of that belt. I don't think the U.S. belt looks that great either. Robert Kaplinger, can't wait for the explosive Slime Time live deathmatch between Shane and Braun Strowman at WrestleMania. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. We have Braun Strowman challenging Shane McMahon to a steel cage match. Why? Well, because he wants to make sure that none of Shane's goons can get into the match. Because we've never seen anybody interfere in a cage match before, you fucking idiot. Shane was right. Braun is stupid. Burnt dried chicken. Do you see a women's faction in AEW? At some point, yeah, sure, of course. Seems inevitable to me. Nicholas Terrell, when was the last time Cody was in an interesting feud since Brody Lee? Yeah, I don't know what's going on with Cody, man. Cody, yeah, he had the thing with Shaq. It was pretty much just a one-off. I don't know. Cody really, you know, for a guy who's positioned as one of the big names, or, you know, if not the biggest star they have, boy, he does a lot of nothing on this show. He really does a lot of nothing on this show. He likes working with his friends, but he has not been involved in anything even remotely interesting in a very long time. Maybe, you know, since the angle with Brody Lee when Cody was going away to do the Go Big Show and they had Brody just demolish him on that one Saturday episode of Dynamite. That might have been the last truly interesting thing that I can remember Cody being involved in on the show. So I don't know what the hell's going on with Cody. Maybe he's just preoccupied by his kid coming, and now he's got a reality show. He's getting a little too big for his britches, it seems. Oofman Entertainment. Thoughts on Cohen saying the Mets is turning into the Mets podcast here. Saying the Mets will be bringing back black jerseys for some games. I'm excited as I own one with my last name and number on it. I think it's cool. For some games, why not? I think it's cool. And burnt dried chicken. Solid Monster turn heel on the New York Knicks and join the Brooklyn Nets bandwagon. Well, now you're getting into the NBA stuff and now I've lost interest. Not really a fan. Not really a fan. I think we're all caught up. I believe we are. Let's go back to this awesome artwork here. In celebration of... Let me drop down. There we go. Boy, Steve, you really put me in a box here. I feel it's a little stuffy in here. But now this is the work of Steve Mello, who did the artwork for me. A very great job he did. For what I thought ended up being a very fun main event tonight. In case you missed the end of the Dynamite review. That was the main event, the Arcade Anarchy match. And I thought it was a lot of fun. I wouldn't quite put it on the same level as the last Best Friends main event they had with Santana and Ortiz. That was a much better match. But I thought it was a very fun main event. We got to see Trent's mom on the show, Sue. I didn't say I don't like basketball. I just say I don't have a dog in the fight. So whether it's the Knicks, the Nets, I mean, the Knicks are shit. The Knicks are, I know, you know, they've shown signs this season of having a good team and all that. I just haven't been following it closely enough to really know any different than the Knicks suck. I mean, my brother is a huge Knicks fan. He watches every game. He's Mr. Nick. I can bring him in here right now and he could tell you everything about, he'll never come in here, but I could bring him in here right now and he could tell you everything about the Knicks. I could give two shits. I could give three, four, five, or six shits. I don't care. James Dolan is a piece of shit. He's an idiot. His team has sucked for years. It's an embarrassment. It's a scourge is what it is. You know, we joke about the Mets and stuff. The Mets have had flashes of success. The fact that we've had such a horrible, horrific, horrendous basketball team in New York, the biggest media market in the country for so many years, is such a fucking disgrace. How they still have any fans is beyond me. Why would you be a Knicks? I mean, at least up until this year, right? Go back last year, the year before. Why would you even want to be a Knicks fan? You'd have to be born into it. It's like me with the Mets and all the misery that we've had over the years. Why would anybody even want to waste their time? Of course, I say this, and I talk about Monday Night Raw on my podcast every week, so it seems a little hypocritical, but I don't get it. I don't get it. They have been... I know this year... Okay, yeah, the Knicks have been better this year, but what about every other year up to this point? It's been an absolute disgrace. It's been an embarrassment that this team in this market has been performing the way that they've been performing. The Genius says basketball is better than baseball. Well, that's certainly an opinion. Thank you for the $2. Derek Jackson with the $5. Cody thinks he's John Cena. He does. I mean, Cody thinks that he is the kind of breakout star in this company. And look, he has been so far, right? He's doing reality shows and he's on a television show with Snoop Dogg. Maybe he's going to get other roles on TV shows or movies or something. You know, who knows? I guess you would say he's the closest thing they have to a star like that in AEW, but Cody ain't no John Cena. Not yet. He ain't no John Cena. Although I see John Cena following in Cody's footsteps with his own game show on TBS. Wipeout is back. You know, tomorrow night, Thursday night, is going to be a very busy night. Wipeout is back. Season 2 of Creepshow. For those of you horror fans who saw Season 1, it's on the network Shudder. Season 2, I believe, or at least the first episode, drops tomorrow. And Law & Order, SVU, is back, and it leads directly into a brand new Law & Order that's starting called Organized Crime with Elliot Stabler, Chris Maloney. He's reviving the character. We're going to get a Benson Stabler reunion tomorrow night. I'm so excited. I haven't been this excited about a reunion since Macho Man and Elizabeth at WrestleMania 7, which I just talked about on the podcast on Sunday in the history segment. So it's going to be a very busy TV night. Very busy TV night. Andrew just dropped a super chat. Disgusted Brandy Rhodes super chat. He says, as a Knicks fan from Canada, I cannot explain it. Now that takes dedication. If you're a Knicks fan in Canada, you're not even in New York. Now, are you a native New Yorker who moved to Canada, or you're just a Canadian who decided to become a fan of the New York Knicks? I don't quite understand that, but that takes dedication to not even be in this country and be a Knicks fan. Yeah, I don't get that. The Genius says I am marking out. I am marking out for this reunion tomorrow night. I'm very excited. He says, nope. Nova Scotian. Okay, wow. He says, I got indoctrinated during the Melo years. Carmelo Anthony. Wow. Well, like I said, that takes dedication. To not even be from here and to be that loyal and supportive of a franchise that has constantly spit in the face of its fans takes some dedication. Shambly Games with the $5. There it is. Cody needs to release a rap album before he can be John Cena. Even the Macho Man had a rap album. You believe that? Macho Man Randy Savage. had his own rap album. Oz and Gloria says, let's do some calls. I need some Luis calling in for April Fools. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. I don't know about Luis, but we are going to take some calls. How about that? We will take some calls. You see the number on your screen. It's not active yet. I got to get everything set up. But before we wrap things up tonight, I will continue to read your super chats if you want to send them in. But we'll take a few calls. Why not, right? We got 10 more minutes before we hit April Fool's Day. 740.
Hey, Tom Walter. How you doing tonight?
Good. Tell everybody who we're talking to.
We're talking to Travis. How's everybody?
Travis, everybody. What's going on, Travis?
First, before I get to the AEW portion, TNA Impact last night. I haven't really watched Impact too much, but I wanted to see James Storm versus Eric Young.
Mm-hmm.
And I marked out AMW, America's Most Wanted, got back together.
You have the stream on in your background, by the way? Do you have the stream on? You should just lower it because it's...
Muted. Muted, sorry.
There you go.
Wildcat Chris Harris came back and joined up with Chris Sabin and James Storm.
Wildcat Chris, I haven't heard that name in years. Wildcat Chris Harris, he became a meme, didn't he, when he went to ECW?
Braden Walker. Yep, Braden Walker. And then Christian and Kazarian faced off tonight, and they had a ladder match in TNA back in 2007, I believe it was. And it was amazing. I'd say it was almost as good as their TNA match. Both of these two guys still got it, and they proved Wilder to the best in the world. And in my opinion, I thought AEW, I would go as far as to say it was probably one of their better first hours since Dynamite started. And I think a lot of that is due to Christian versus Kazarian.
Yeah, it was a very good match. I thought that his first singles match in 7 years, you know, obviously he looked gassed out a little bit there at the end, although part of that might have just been him selling. But, you know, it's his first match under his belt. I thought he looked good. He was the perfect opponent for him. He wants to work every week, so I don't know if they're going to give him a match every week. They didn't announce one for next week. I wouldn't put him in a match every week, but, you know, his intent is to be on the show and wrestle on a regular basis. So we're gonna see, you know, he says outwork everyone. We're gonna see if he can deliver on that promise.
Yeah, also next week on Impact, Kenny Omega is gonna actually wrestle. It's gonna be him, Gallows and Anderson against Rich Swann, Eddie Edwards, and Willie Mack. And my question is, even though Omega won't do the job, and he shouldn't in this match, do you at least think they'll throw Impact a bone and have them win this match, rather it be Gallows or Anderson eating the fall?
I don't know. I mean, they probably should, I guess, if they're working with them, you know, throw them a little bone here and there. I'm just struck by the lack of interest. I got to tell you, I don't hear from anybody who is, you know, talking about, oh, I can't wait to watch Impact this week because Kenny Omega is going to be on. And, you know, Omega has the match coming up in, I guess, the 25th, I believe, with Swan. And I think that's going to be, obviously a very good match. But I am struck by the lack of interest that there seems to be. And apparently Impact's ratings are going back down again. So, I don't know. I mean, it was always going to be more of a benefit to Impact than it was AEW. AEW doesn't have to be doing this. Honestly, I think they're doing it more because Tony Khan just enjoys playing heel in those paid advertisements. He's trying to, you know, be what Vince McMahon was back in '93 when he went to Memphis. But yeah, I mean, it's a shame that the interest level just doesn't seem to be there, because you've got the AEW champion on Impact, and I don't know that a lot of people are even aware of it.
Just a two-parter to leave you off so you can get to other callers. But part one, do you think Eddie Edwards could be a major player in AEW? Do you think he's talented enough? And do you think Mr. McMahon, like I pitched Eddie Edwards versus Lashley and WWE since Eddie Edwards won the TNA world title from him, but me and my friends all think McMahon would bury Eddie, and I sadly agree. Secondly, TNA, back when they were in their peak on Spike TV, Do you think TNA, with the star power they had then, had they had Tony Khan money? Or even now, if TNA was still, you know, in the position they were in when they were on Spike and they were on a channel like Spike and they were doing their thing with AEW, do you think it would be a bigger deal and do you think it would be more beneficial to TNA? Thank you for your time, Solid Monster.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. I mean, if they had the financial resources, it would have been helpful to them. But at the end of the day, I mean, there were people who didn't know what the fuck they were doing in that company. That's why they failed. I say failed. I mean, the company is still around. I'm talking about the different regimes that they've been through and the different eras of TNA. You need to know how to book your talent, and you need to push the right people and put out a product that people are going to want to see. And you can have all the money in the world, as we can see with WWE. They got more money than they know what to do with, and yet their flagship show is fucking horrendous. So money does not always equal success. You need to have the right people in place and the right talent and a little bit of luck. You mentioned Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards is very talented. Do I see Eddie Edwards, if he were to ever come over to AEW, being like a big star? I don't see it. Certainly not for lack of talent, but no, I don't really see him, hitting it off as anything big. 910.
Hey, Solomon, so this is Eric from Clinton, North Carolina. Not Fayetteville, but Clinton once again.
All right.
How you been doing?
Good. Well, it's a good thing you said that, too, because it says right in front of my face, Fayetteville, North Carolina. So I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, they're about 35 minutes away from each other. But I'm in Clinton, and it rained heavily here earlier tonight. Or I should say last night, since it's probably midnight by now. But I've been doing fine since the last time I called into one of your shows. And I just want to say, both AEW and NXT was good tonight. And I love that segment with the Inner Circle and the Pinnacle. That was a funny moment with MJF opened up the bathroom door. And you saw the Inner Circle just standing there, with the exception of Jake Hager being on the other side of the other, you know, main door you go out of the locker room. That was well done because, yeah, like you said earlier, they've been off TV since they got jumped first. So it makes sense for them to do that. And I'm hoping it sets up to the Blood and Guts War Games type match whenever they can have it, you know, because I think that would be great, you know. And, you know, I tell you one faction that I hate that got kind of buried somewhat. Retribution. I was like, oh my God. Could you at least have Mustafa Ali win a U.S. title from Riddle?
And you'll notice.
And then have the other two guys.
You'll notice.
Yeah, have the other two guys win the tag titles.
Yeah. But you'll notice. But they were never going to push them because they didn't care. But you'll notice that they did this Retribution split. And the next night on Raw, which would have been last week, not a word about it. In fact,
yeah, because everything is coming up to being taped.
Yeah, I don't think they have said a single word the last 2 weeks on Raw since Retribution broke up. Now, we saw Ali pop up on Raw this week, and then he wrestled Drew McIntyre. But they didn't even take the time to explain that this group had split up. They just disappeared. But that's how little they cared.
Yeah, that's just it.
Yeah.
And you're right. It's just crazy. Like, they don't take the time to explain it. And like you said with the other caller, that's WWE got all this money, more than what they can do, but they don't know how to book shit, do shit, and the crazy ass rules that they got their wrestlers and behind the scenes employees going through. Like, for example, the executives on the plane with Vince McMahon, they can't sleep, you know, and that's just crazy, you know. And then they don't pay their people right, like they, you know, they pay bonuses and pay raises and stuff, and they're doing all this work putting up, you know, the ring and the specialty matches such as the, you know, Elimination Chamber, which ain't nothing but a War Games copycat. That's all, I'm gonna just put it like that. It'll never top or touch the damn War Games, period, to me. You know, and it's not right, man. You don't treat your employees like that. You know, and I don't know if you agree with what I'm saying, you know, but that's just, you know, my opinion. And that's where I come, you know, AEW has so far a better product. Now, AEW needs to put a hold on the factions. They got enough factions. Let's leave that alone, you know, for the time being. Now, they need to bring in trios titles, like you said earlier. I would love to see that. You know, six-man, you know, titles, you know, and everything. I like Elevation and I like Dark, you know, being on YouTube and everything, you know. But I like what, you know, I look at other federations too. You know, Ring of Honor's had their 19th anniversary. You know, that came out good from what I seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, EC3 and one of the Briscoe brothers, they fought and they shook hands at the end. And that was a good, you know, lead up. Because I forgot which Briscoe brother it was. He was talking about, well, EC3, you came from WWE and you thought you was going to be a big superstar. He's like, fuck that superstar shit. You know, they tried to get us to come there and offer us this amount of money, that amount. We didn't go. Me and my bro, we didn't go. You know, we loyal to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
That's what I like, loyalty. You know, and they Ring of Honor doing a good job. And, you know, I've said this over the years, WWE can't say shit about ECW, WCW, any other federation, because they think they on top, but they ain't all that. The women's division ain't all that good, because look what they did in Nia Jax. Oh, my hole. What in the hell? And what in the world does a sommelier got to do with the whole Sasha Banks issue and Bianca Belair? I don't, I'm like, man,
yeah,
come
no,
on.
I mean, look, you, your opinions is shared by a lot of people. And no, it is. I mean, there's a lot of people who feel the same way. But you always have a very interesting way of kind of articulating that. So, but listen, Eric.
Yeah, thank you, man. Also, I want to say this too.
Sure.
Last time I called, I know the person was saying when the call said I was hopped up on coffee. Now I'm just, you know, trying to be happy and live peacefully,
yeah,
man,
that's
and
all.
Try to go through this whole pandemic situation, which I haven't had the coronavirus at all, thankfully. You know, I'm still wearing my mask when I go out in public, because tomorrow morning I'm going out to take care of my bills and get food and stuff for my cleaning supplies in my apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I get my Social Security money at the beginning of, you know, April the 1st. But I'm just, you know, just happy, man. I'm just proud to be a true pro wrestling fan, because I can see through the bullshit with WWE. And if I was a pro wrestler, Solid Monster, I would not sign with them. Sorry, I can't.
There's a lot of wrestlers who feel the same way, and it's good to have options. That's why having an AEW and a Ring of Honor and an Impact, even if you don't watch them personally, you want them around because you want there to be options.
Exactly.
Yeah, then that's why I can never understand when AEW, and even now to this day, I can understand if you don't like AEW or if there's a, like even Impact, right? I was just talking about Impact and how sad it is that there really is no buzz. Nobody really seems to care. But I'm not going to say that, Impact should go away or Impact should just die. Because
you've got plenty of people who work for these companies.
And it's a place for them to work. It's a place for them, not WWE, for them to go and ply their craft and make a living. And I just don't see that there's anything negative about that. I think it's great that you have all of these different promotions, and hopefully every company can thrive. I want to see all these companies succeed. But Eric, look, I want to take a few other calls before we end up here. Any final message here before I let you go?
Yeah, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, man. I love the video game graphics. You know,
Thank you.
A little type of Sega Genesis type game that I play. I have NBA Jam Tournament Edition, if you remember that. Streets of Rage 2 and NFL Madden 97. I'm hoping
to get the
original Sega Genesis console from Amazon whenever I get a chance and everything. But that arcade, that Anarchy arcade match, that was nice, you know, on AEW last night. I enjoyed that with all the video games and stuff, you know, and it was nice though. And let me ask you this right quick. How can I find you on Spotify? What do I put in? Solid Monster Sounds Off?
Yeah, just type in Solid Monster Sounds Off and it should bring it up with the logo and everything. And then boom, you could just stream it right on there.
Okay, and I also vote on your polls for AEW NXT on Twitter and everything.
Cool.
But keep up the good work, man. And, you know, I hope the Mets and the Yankees do good, because tomorrow's the first day of the Major League Baseball season. And
It is opening
day.
Yeah,
see what everybody's going to do. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, And Willpower family, stay your ass out of Major League Baseball, because you didn't do shit for the Mets.
Yeah, well, He's out of the picture. You don't got to worry about that anymore.
Exactly, man. Hey, stay safe. And
you too, man.
Be well and represent for New York and New Jersey, you know, because I'm from Newark, New Jersey. Just represent, man. And I'm proud of you.
Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate that. Newark.
And I love your belts I see hanging up in your room, too. I love your belts I see hanging up.
They're two of my prized possessions, so I show them off proudly.
I know, that's right.
All right, man.
Yep. All right, take care, man.
You too. I didn't realize you were from New Jersey. I guess North Carolina by way of New Jersey. So there you go. There is Eric. Always has a lot to share with us. Juan. Good night, Juan. Thank you for joining me tonight. I appreciate it. Jordan in the chat says, is there a Discord server for this channel? That would be a disaster. There is a Discord. I've never shared it. But I did grab it years ago. There is a Discord. It is not currently active because I do not put it out there. And perhaps that might change. I might actually, you know what, I would consider doing that for the YouTube members. Maybe we'll add that as a perk for the YouTube members. Otherwise, it would just be it would just be chaos. So I'll think about that. Don't remind me about that. Jordan also sent in a $20 super chat. Jordan, thank you very much. He says, sorry, I've missed most of the show. I'm at work. Wish I could call. You don't got to apologize for a damn thing. I am just glad that you are able to tune in, even if just for a few minutes. It means a lot. Burnt dry chicken without flavor. Deonna Purrazzo, Rich Swann, and Sami Callihan should make appearances on AEW just to get some exposure and help enhance the storylines for Impact. Well, I'm sure Impact would like that. I don't get the sense that AEW really cares to give them the time. Seems very one-sided to me so far. Let's go to an old... Is he still here? Yes, he is. I was gonna say an old friend of ours. Oh, he disappeared. Well, we'll see if he calls back. In the meantime, let's go to 917. Do introduce yourself.
What's going on, y'all? This is Vitamin from Vitamin Vision TV.
It is
going on to all my.
It is Vitamin. I'm doing very well. How are you?
Everything's cool, man. Yo, this episode of Dynamite, I enjoyed it. Good episode, but like I said in my super chat, they're going too far with the factions. Like, me personally, I'm a mark for factions, mm-hmm. but there are way too many factions. And
I agree.
I know you said Moxley stands alone, mm-hmm. but technically he's with like Eddie Kingston right now. So
yeah, but that's not a faction. Literally... I mean, it's fine to have friends and allies. I don't look at that as the same. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the 3, 4, 5, 6 member groups.
Yeah.
You just get, I don't know what the magic number is that they kind of pass where it's like, all right, that's too much. I just know they have a lot of them right now. And I think they need to just cool it. I think there's just too many of them. I mean, how many more factions are you going to have? Somebody asked me before, are we going to have a women's faction? Yeah, probably at some point, but do we really need
I'm
any
sure
more?
We're going to have an announcers faction at one point.
Oh,
too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's coming. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. I got two questions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're going to kill me for this one, but I actually don't mind QT Marshall. I think his character is actually a very unique character. He straddles between trying to get sympathy, but also doing like some weird heelish shit on the low. So he's interesting when you follow him. Not like you really pay attention, but... He does like some stuff that I've been following throughout watching AEW, and I kind of enjoy his character. It's not like something that's a highlight for me, but I don't want him off my screen like the rest of, I feel, you and the rest of the whole Solid Monster Army wants him off the screen.
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing about him that just makes me go, why is he featured on the show? I mean, what is it about him? There's a lot of really good wrestlers in AEW, you know? He's a perfectly capable wrestler. I get the sense that he's also a very good trainer. And maybe that's ultimately the best place for him to be. But, you know, he used to come out with the... Does he still come out with the apple on Dark? I haven't seen him with the apple in a while.
I don't think so. He hasn't done it in a while.
Yeah, that was kind of like his thing there for a while. There's nothing dynamic about him. You know, I'm watching a show where I see guys like Darby Allin and Ray Phoenix, Laredo Kid, and John Moxley, and everybody has something different that they offer, and everybody is kind of unique and exciting in their own way, especially, you know, guys like Darby and Phoenix. And then I see him or you know, even some of these other guys who don't get as much television time. And I said, okay, if they're going to give them TV time, well, make them interesting. Like, have them do something, and maybe now they will, right? This is the most interesting thing they've done with him so far. But I want to hear from him. I want to know, okay, what's his motivation? Does he go out there and cut a stinker of a promo, or does he go out there and he impresses the hell out of me? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and I think he can cut a decent promo. I've seen him in backstage things on different things and being the Elite. I think he cut a decent promo, but I want to see if he could go to that next level. I'm willing to give him a chance. So
yeah, absolutely. That.
But I have another question for you. I have a little conspiracy theory here with WWE selling the network and Peacock scrubbing the network. It made me think of the content creators that rely on the network to snatch their footage. Do you think that it's like killing two birds or one stone, that now content creators won't be able to refer back to that footage because it's scrubbed off the network?
Well, when you say content creators grabbing recaps,
people that do recaps, people that make countdown videos, people that, you know, that use, you know, maybe 20 or 30 seconds of a clip when trying to refer back to something that happened.
Oh, so you're talking about the YouTubers who actually use those 10 or 15 footage. Second clips of video.
Yeah.
No, not really, because I mean the majority of the content is still there. I mean, what they're scrubbing are just individual moments, controversial segments. I mean, you can go on Peacock right now and they have all the pay-per-views, all the main pay-per-views are there. The Rumbles, the WrestleManias, SummerSlams. And if you can't find something on Peacock because they edited it, then you can find it on YouTube. It's not hard for somebody to grab a controversial segment that maybe Peacock won't use, because it's all, you can find it on Daily Motion. You can find it on YouTube. Anybody who wants to find something, believe me, they'll find a way to get it. I don't think that they're doing that to, cut the legs off of content creators.
Okay, nice. All right, man. Thank you for taking my call. Keep it up, man. Big supporter of your stuff, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Take care, man. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, I'm sure WWE would, you know, love to cut the legs off of a lot of different people who probably annoy them and talk negatively about them, but I don't see any kind of grand conspiracy theory where they're doing things to make their lives harder. I think they wanted to make as much money as they possibly could, and they wanted to get this deal done before WrestleMania. That's why it feels rushed. That's why they did the deal, and then they're first going through all the footage to scrub it, telling people, oh, it'll be until August before we get everything back up. Yeah, because they have to sit there and go through 17,000 hours of content. Their only concern is making money. That's it. They took the money, and now whatever happens, they don't care. If Peacock is going to start editing stuff off, who cares, right? Because they got their money for the next 5 years. It's not their problem anymore. Now it's Peacock's. Although it is a little alarming now that apparently on the network itself, they seem to be mirroring a lot of these same edits and removing a lot of the same segments that Peacock is. Again, I want to know from our international viewers, if you have the network in Germany, if you have the network in the UK, you can check right now. Go try to find that segment where DX impersonates the Nation. Go try to find Piper against Bad News Brown at WrestleMania 6. Because my understanding was that it was still available on that version of the network everywhere else. It was more or less a Peacock thing. And now I'm hearing that that might not be the case, that they're now scrubbing that stuff on the network, which is going to affect all of you people as well, not just us here in the States. It's going to affect everybody. So I'd be very curious to hear from some of the international folks. if that is what is going on. Let's go to 914.
Hey, Samantha, this is me, Carlos.
Hey, what's going on?
You heard it? What do you think is going to happen with Kenny Omega? Who's his new rival? It can be.
Oh, his next opponent, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, thank you for the call. That's a good question because we know he's wrestling Rich Swann for the Impact title. It's winner take all at their Rebellion pay-per-view. But in terms of AEW, I would have said weeks ago, I would have said maybe Lance Archer. But now they've turned Lance Archer heel again, and he's going to be feuding with Sting, so it's not going to be him. Hangman, it's too soon to do that match. Moxley, I don't think they're going to do that match again. It's already been done. It's not going to be Cody. You know, he's hurt right now. I have mentioned this person's name before as a potential number one contender. If he's not seriously hurt and he's back relatively soon, I think it's a good spot for Pac. And I think even in their rankings and everything, his record was pretty good. He'd have to rack up some wins because I think the way they kind of treat the rankings, it's not just about wins and losses, but like relevant wins and losses. So he'd have to come back. He'd have to win some matches. Yeah, maybe Pac. I think Pac can be somebody who you can get one or two matches out of. He and Omega have feuded before, right? They had that 30-minute Iron Man match on Dynamite. Was it last year? It was early last year. I have to think about that a little bit harder, though, to see who else. I don't have the rankings in front of me right now, but his name is the one that jumps out at me. 831.
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me? Sorry if the microphone's being a little funky.
I can hear you.
My name's Phil. Long-time listener, short-term memory. My question is, with celebrities such as Shaq showing up on AEW TV and bringing in a ratings boost, do you think AEW should try to get their wrestlers involved with more projects outside of wrestling to bring in more eyeballs? Because while the storylines are quality for the most part, the numbers seem to have been fairly stagnant, this past year. And I see things like Cody getting a reality show to bring in outside fans, and I think that's great. And I wonder if AEW would benefit from trying to get more talent involved with non-wrestling projects, such as having like the world champion appear on talk shows, promoting the product and trying to increase their name value, or maybe even getting talents in small roles, acting gigs. Not saying that this would bring in like a million viewers each week, but maybe add a small little boost that may be needed, given that the ratings have been fairly, not bad, but fairly stagnant this past year, which, to be fair, I think the pandemic plays a big role in it, but it's not the entirety of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, thank you for the question. I think it's absolutely smart for them to try to get their talent on talk shows and stuff. I don't know why they don't. Maybe they are. Maybe they're just not able to book them. So, yeah, absolutely. You want to get more media exposure for your talent. I wouldn't spread my talent too thin by trying to book them out to other, you know, reality shows, TV gigs, movie gigs, because then all of a sudden, you lose access to your talent, right? Now they're off television because they have to go film. You know, it's one thing to have somebody, like one person out at a time who's doing that stuff, and it would probably be Cody, because Cody's probably going to be the one to want to do that. I wouldn't want too many of my guys filming different shows. I need them to work. But to get them more media exposure, yeah, I mean, I think this idea, though, that just by doing that, you're going to get all these new eyeballs. You still, at the end of the day, have to put together a product that people find compelling and interesting. You can put together, you know, a media campaign, an advertising campaign. All right, take money out of that budget and put together this huge ad campaign, this ad blitz, building up to a big episode of Dynamite, like what they did with Shaq when they hit Shaq on Dynamite. So if they want to plan some kind of big event and then pay for an ad blitz around it, and they have some really big angle they're going to shoot, or they have some really big plans that they think, you know, might be able to retain some of those new eyeballs who tune in on TNT, then that would be smart. But I wouldn't start outsourcing my talent to go filming, you know, here, there, and everywhere else. Because then all of a sudden, you know, they have other obligations when their main obligation should be AEW. And we have to wait until they get full crowds back to see if that makes any kind of difference. The combination of NXT moving nights, coupled with the fact that, let's say, you know, maybe in the fall, early winter, if we can get back to a point where they can get back on the road and these buildings are, even if they're not totally packed, but like mostly packed, it's going to change the whole vibe of the show. Is that going to be the difference between 850,000 and a million? Maybe. It could be. Yeah, they've been in one place for so long, it gets kind of boring. It gets kind of dull. Change of scenery sometimes can make a world of difference. But that's still many months away. Right now, there's not a whole lot that they can really do about that. And 787, I believe this is Puerto Rico.
Hey, Galamos, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. Great to talk to you again, man. Third time, I think, calling. It's awesome.
It's been a while. Is there a bomb going off behind you? I hear a beeping.
Ah, sorry.
I would say seek shelter. I'm a little worried for you.
That's a microphone. A little bit of soup. Listen, so I was listening to last week, I think, and you alluded to it tonight about the Elevation and Dark and all of that. I agree with you a lot in that sense that I don't think it's really like helpful for the product to try to bring in people like that. But do you think it's helping with the overall audience? Like, because you're pretty good at taking the temperature of the industry itself. Like sometimes we have these opinions about how it should go and should not go, but do you think it's working with their fan base, the everybody else, or you think their fan base themselves, it's a little bit confused? What do you think is going on over there with that? And about the QT Marshall thing, I don't think I realized that when I was watching Elevation yesterday. I think this QT Marshall thing is more for Cody. So when Cody turns heel, I don't know when that's going to happen because he's been teasing it for like a year now. When he turns heel, it's going to be like that Bobby Heenan moment when Hogan turned heel and he goes like, what have I been saying all these years? And that was beautiful. So I think that's what's going to happen with this QT Marshall thing. It's going to be a long-term thing for Cody when he turns heel eventually. That's what I think. We're looking at it in the same standpoint of, oh, well, it's QT Marshall and all that, but that's what I think. How do you think about that?
It's possible. It's possible that, you know, again, it's Cody who's the real star of this, and QT Marshall is just a tool to kind of get them to that. Yeah. I'm not calling him a tool, but you know what I mean. He's a tool. Well, that's mean. But you know, he's kind of a tool to kind of get them right to that point. Yeah, I think that's possible. Remind me again real quick of your first question.
Yeah, the Dark Elevation, that if you think it's working with their own like audience, because you hear these people like, oh well, it's BTE, or you gotta watch the Guevara blog, but there's some people that actually like that, their core audience, and I don't know if that's actually hurting them with that audience or if it's helping, because there's people that just want to consume so much wrestling sometimes that I don't know if they're getting really burned out or if it's us that we're out of the club. I don't know what it is, but
I think you definitely
want to know what
you think. I think burnout is a very real thing.
Yeah,
nobody has to watch the I don't watch those shows. If I don't have time for it, I just watch it. But I think if they're running angles on the show that are tied into, the main storylines, all of a sudden you feel like, well, I'm confused because I'm missing out on a piece of the story because now I have to watch this show. And that's where people get kind of overwhelmed and they're like, ah, fuck this. I'm not going to bother with this anymore. You don't want that to happen. So I think as we've seen with WWE, burnout is a very real thing. But there are people who enjoy the dark shows because it highlights talent, young talent, who don't get television time on the main show. Look, I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
On, I don't know if it was Dark or Elevation. It was one of them, this week. Might've been yesterday. Might've been last night. There was a tag team called Milk Chocolate. And
Oh, I like them.
Yeah, well, I bring them up like them. Because one half of Milk Chocolate is Brandon Watts, and I interviewed Brandon on my podcast many years ago. He broke his neck. It was a very serious injury at an independent show.
Oh.
He fought his way back. I had him on the podcast to talk about it. This was years ago. He's been on the indie scene. And so when I heard that he was going to be on AEW Dark, I was really happy for him. So for talent like that, it's a great platform. I think it's a great thing for them to do. My issue was when these dark cards would be announced, it's 12, 15, 16, 17 matches. And it's like, there is a point where it becomes too much. That was why with Elevation, I was hoping, okay, maybe they'll split it. And so Dark won't be 15 matches deep in 2.5 hours every week, but they'll split it, you know, between, excuse me, between the two. I don't have an issue with there being extra shows on YouTube. You know, there are people who watch it. I think it gets an audience of 200,000 or whatever it is it does in terms of YouTube views every single week. If there's an audience for it, then great. You know, the AEW audience might crave that. But burnout can be a real thing. Don't force people to have to tune into all those shows just to start keeping track of any key storylines. If it's like a small storyline, fine, no big deal. I think it's a good character development tool. But I don't want to watch Dynamite and then I'm completely lost on a particular storyline because I didn't watch, you know, 2.5 hours of Dark. I mean, that's just stupid.
Right. Yeah, it's like when I saw Angel Fashion, because we obviously with the pandemic, when it started, I saw Angel Fashion there. I was like, oh my God, that's my guy. You know? Yeah. Like I see him work here in Puerto Rico. That's awesome. You know? And then when I saw Cuervo there, the guy that got in Mexico with the brick in the head last year, happened with that. I think that dude is still working in Mexico.
That's ridiculous. But he should be jumped. Yeah. He should be jumped and hung upside down by his ankles and smacked around with a wet leaf. I mean, that guy is ridiculous. I mean, for something like that, to do something like that and not be blackballed, don't these people have fucking balls?
Even Pentagon actually Pentagon worked an angle with him after that.
Why
and
do
I
you
was
tolerate
like,
that? Why? I don't know. Understand. Why do the wrestlers tolerate that? I don't understand. For the life of me, do they not have any balls? Like, I don't understand why they would tolerate that. That guy should have been excommunicated. Yeah. Yeah, the day after.
Right.
Sickening.
Absolutely. I didn't get that. And a guy from, like, Pentagon, you know, at his stature, like, come on, man. you're better than that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's apparently not.
Me thinking. Everybody can do what they want, but.
Apparently not.
You know.
Well.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Well, thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. It's always good. It's always good to talk to you. Have a great night. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Awesome. There were two more super chats here. Hashway, if he's still hanging out with us, drop $5. Hey, Solomonster. I didn't watch the show, just wanted to stop by and show my support. And now I wake up. Hopefully I will be in the live chat next week. Yeah, Hashway, I forgot. International. He's in a different part of the world. So I think it's very early in the morning where he is. So he took the time to drop by and drop a super chat. That's very cool. And Brian Gates, Chris Statlander is back. Fine as hell, too. Well, there you go. Clearly a Chris Statlander fan. Burnt dried chicken. Should AEW highly consider going to another city in the South like Miami or Atlanta just to test things out? Only when they feel it's safe enough. They're in their little bubble there in Daly's place. And, you know, we're not out of this thing yet. So I think it would be stupid to move just for the sake of moving. They're in a good spot at Daly's place right now. When things calm down a little bit more, I can't wait for them to get back on the road and get out of there. But they really don't have any reason to move. Right? Don't they own the building? I'm sure they've looked at those options. I'm sure they've looked at maybe other places in Florida, since Florida is totally open. They could pretty much go anywhere they want. I mean, they could technically have packed crowds in Florida, but thankfully they have a fucking brain in their head and they're not going to do that. But I don't really see the need for them to move. Yeah, better not to risk it. To me, it would be like, you know, you've made it this far, for God's sakes. It'd be like spiking the ball at the 1 yard line. Why would you do that? Just be patient. A few more months is not going to kill you. Depending on what you do, then maybe you could. Let's take one more look here at these polls. I do love my polls. 80% thumbs up on the AEW, and the NXT has 65. Please go vote at Solomonster, and do me another favor too, by the way. Let's get that like count up. What are we at? I don't even think we're at 200 yet. We had a lot more than that in here a little bit earlier, so please, especially on your way out, hit that like button. Don't cost you a thing. All you got to do is hit thumbs up, and it helps the video out. So, oh, wait, Spanish Goddess, dropping $5. Did you see the Ring of Honor show last Saturday? EC3 had an awesome match. Also, what is your favorite 80s band? Ah, one of my favorite Super Chats. There it is. Undertaker with the Bailey Buddy entrance. It just looks so natural. I did not see the Ring of Honor show, so I cannot comment on the Ring of Honor show. My favorite 80s band, I mean, you should know this if you know anything about me. Right? Hall and Oates. Daryl Hall and John Oates. Come on, man. They're fucking great. I have video of me with a microphone in my hand, even at the age of 4, I think I was, singing Hall & Oates. This would have been back in, well, whatever year it was. So I've been a fan my whole life. My mom is really the one who introduced me to them. She was a fan of them. I was listening to them as a kid. I loved their music. I'd be singing and dancing. Hall & Oates, man. I will see you guys for episode 698. This Sunday, we got a very big week coming up next week because it's WrestleMania week. But I'll be back here with you on Wednesday, kicking off all the fun live on YouTube. We're going to be streaming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night right here on YouTube. So if you're not already subscribed, now would be a good time to hit that sub button. And I hope you'll join me for all the fun next week. Till then, take care, guys.